Welcome to the conference call. Please note, today's call is being recorded. Please stand by.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the first Message Developer webinar of the new year. We hope you all enjoy your winter break, and we're back here to get started with things. Today, I'm going to give you a brief maintenance update, and then I'm going to have my colleagues, Dr. Reva Winkler, Katie Streeter, and some others give a presentation on our new eMeasure Feasibility Assessment Program project. So regarding Measure Maintenance, just to remind you, these are the projected quarter assignments of the Measure Maintenance projects that we plan to have take place in 2013. I want to emphasize the fact that these are projected quarter assignments. Like we mentioned on the last update, we have not yet finalized any timelines for the projects, so the quarters are still tentative. Once we do have finalized timelines, we'll make them available to you as soon as possible. And regarding annual update, you should have received a no reply email from our automated system for all of your measures that are assigned to Q1 of 2013 to let you know that you can now begin your annual updates. You can access those forms from your dashboard via our website, and the submission deadline for Q1 is March 31st. So I'll stop there and see if anyone has any comments or any questions to anything regarding endorsement maintenance or annual update for Q1.
If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Jody Dvorkin.
Okay.
Hi, Ashley. So just for the quarter one maintenance, because we're trying to prepare and figure out when we need to get those measure sets ready.
Right.
Do you guys have any idea when that's going to be? Or are we going to get a 90-day notice?
Unfortunately, right now, we don't have any idea of when those dates are going to be. We will make adjustments to give you guys as much leeway time in the beginning as possible to accommodate these delays for Q1, because we do recognize that we did, you know, promise you guys those 90 days. But like I said, unfortunately, right now, we still do not have anything finalized.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Your next question comes from the line of Kendra Hangley.
Hi. Can you just put the slide back up on the screen with the list of projects?
Sure.
I'll go through it really quickly. Thank you.
Do you have a specific question regarding a specific project, or you just needed to see the slide again?
No, I just wanted to see it again because I was late joining, so it flashed by. Thanks.
No problem.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Jody Dvorkin.
Hi, Jody.
Hi, sorry, second question. For behavioral health, phase 3, do we know what's included in that?
We do know what's included in that, and we can share those the list of maintenance measures that we have to be included in that with you if you would like to see that.
Yep, that would be great.
Sure. No problem.
Your next question comes from the line of Patrick Romano.
Hi, Patrick.
Good morning, or good afternoon there. Just wondering, where can we access that slide set?
We can share the slide set with you after this webinar is completed.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
There are no further questions.
All right. So at this time, I'm going to turn the webinar over to my colleagues that I mentioned earlier, Dr. Reva Winkler, Beth Franklin, Catherine Streeter, and Juliet Rubini. They're all going to make a collaborative effort to give you guys an update on the eMeasure Feasibility Assessment Project.
Great. Thank you, Ashley. This is Reva Winkler. I'm here with my colleagues. This project has been a collaborative effort, and it reflects something that is new to NQF at the beginning of the year, in which our HIT department is joined with our performance measures department. And you're going to be seeing a lot more collaborative efforts of these two departments going forward. And so this one was specifically and probably the most obvious example of very much bringing together the issues in performance measure along with those in HIT. So what we wanted to tell you about was the fact that the draft report from the eMeasure Feasibility Assessment Project begins public comment today and will be open for comment until February 20th. This is a project in which Measure developers were very, very significantly involved in the technical expert panel, and your feedback is something we are very much looking forward to. So as we just give you the brief outlines of the project and the recommendations, we're really looking for your feedback as the public comment period goes on. Now, we know we have a large number of different developers who join us on these calls. Many of you, we're very aware, are intimately familiar with eMeasures and eMeasure development, but perhaps others are not. So just to be sure we're all working off of the same terms and definitions, I'm going to ask my colleague Beth Franklin to just go over a couple of basic concepts around eMeasures, which really are foundational for going forward with this project.
Thanks, Reva. Yes, this is Beth Franklin. I'm Senior Director of Health IT here at National Quality Forum, and I'm sure I know many of you from our activities on the Health IT team, such as our eMeasure Collaborative, our QDM work, and our MAT work, Measure Authoring Tool work. But what I wanted to do today, as Reva said, is kind of give you a little bit of a background on quality measurement, its shift, talk about a few definitions, and then show you a schematic that, again, may be familiar to many of you about the life cycle of e-measurement. So first I want to talk a little bit about quality measurement and a little bit of the history of where we've been and where we're going. And again, where we've been is that we've been using claims data and doing chart audits to pull that data out that is needed for the measures that are currently out in the field, if you will. About 2 years ago, 3 years ago, NQF started doing some retooling of measures to move the process to what's called e-measurement. And so e-measurement is really pulling that data, electronically pulling the data, from charts, EHRs, et cetera. I'm going to get a little bit more into what an e-measure is. And really the goal here is to improve decision-making. If any of you have attended any of our eMeasure Collaborative meetings, you'll hear there was one physician who frequently talked about how he really sees this as, I like his analogy, either football or baseball or whatever, that you really know what you're doing at the real time. So that's probably far down the line, but that's the idea behind it, where we can help you understand better what is needed to pull, what kind of data is needed, and we're going to talk about a little bit about standardization of that data, which is also important. So the next screen talks a little bit about some definitions, exactly what is an e-measure. An e-measure is a health quality measure encoded in the HQMF format. So our next question is, what is HQMF? HQMF is really a standard representing the quality measure as an electronic document. So it defines what we need in the measure, the data elements, the logics, the definitions. And lastly, and talk a little bit about what the quality data model is, and that is a standard structure to represent quality measures precisely and accurately in a standardized format that can be used across electronic patient care systems. And for those of you who have done e-measures and have developed e-measures, you would know that you use them in the measure authoring tool to develop the logic as part of the logic. Why don't you go to the next screen, Ashley? So the e-measure life cycle, again, this is probably familiar to many of you. This just depicts the e-measure life cycle, where you start with a quality measure using that standard information, if you will, or standard vocabulary in the standardization in the QDM, which is in the measure authoring tool, develops the e-measure, goes into the EHR, pulls out real information. And eventually you can look at the electronic reporting, and it becomes almost a big circle, because as somebody said, you can pretty much start anywhere on here as to where you measure and how to pull and measure information. So this kind of gives you a foundation, if you will, for where we're going with the e-measure feasibility and where the measures fit in.
Right. Thank you, Beth. Just to be clear that we are not looking at e-measures strictly as measures that are respecified from previously existing paper or claims-based measures, but also measures that are newly created, particularly for use in EHRs, and for particularly those that take advantage of the characteristics of EHRs that are somewhat unique and may provide us with some better and more robust measures. So the background for this project really comes from a whole variety of previous work done in both the performance measures and the HIT departments. In the HIT departments, they had several reports from the HIT expert panel, which started the discussion of really what the any measure is, and a lot of the work that Beth just described, where those definitions were derived, and development of the QDM and the measure authoring tool. On the performance measurement side, 2 years ago, the testing task force, in their recommendations for testing for all quality measures, included a very lengthy section on testing for EHR measures. And that became sort of the beginning of the criteria as we begin to look through our endorsement projects at e-measures that are being submitted. During the last year, we've seen e-measures being submitted more and more frequently. Last year, in early 2012, NQF put out for public comment a draft of requirements for e-measure review and testing to build off those recommendations from the testing task force. And probably the biggest and most important bit of feedback from the public comment on that draft was the fact that there just needed to be more specificity around the definition and requirements for feasibility as applied to e-measures. And so that became the launching pad for this particular project. And so this project began in September, October of this year. It's a short-term project. And I'm going to ask our project manager, Katie Streeter, to discuss the project, the TEP, and the timeline.
Thank you, Reva. So the purpose of the eMeasure Feasibility Assessment Project is to assess the current state of feasibility assessment for eMeasures and identify a set of principles and criteria for adequate feasibility assessment. Specific goals of the project include conducting an environmental scan of approaches to feasibility assessment. To do this, NQF staff reached out to measure developers, government contractors, and EHR vendors to gather current approaches used to assess measure feasibility. Another goal is to propose a set of feasibility recommendations, and this includes a starter set of criteria for e-measure feasibility assessment. To achieve these goals, NQF convened a 15-member expert panel. Many of the panelists have participated in previous NQF activities before and were familiar with the process. The panel was comprised of measure developers, experts in measure development and testing, EHR vendors, and implementers. We also had representation from CMS and ONC. So in addition to participating in several conference calls, the TEP also gathered for a one-day in-person meeting in December. NQF staff then worked with the TEP to develop the draft report, which Reva previously mentioned is made available as of today for public comment. Also, as a side note, you can access the draft report right now by going to the NQF homepage. It's listed as one of the featured projects, so there's a link on the homepage to the draft report.
Thank you, Katie. We just briefly wanted to hit the highlights of the 8 recommendations that are included in this report, just to give you a sense of what this report addresses. Again, we are really looking for your feedback. The participation of measure developers along with EHR vendors and providers was a rich and robust discussion. It was a lot of fun for us. It was a very collaborative effort. And I think you'll see that the major theme behind the recommendations in this project are about the need for collaboration among all of those players for a development of e-measures that are going to work for everybody going forward. And so, go to the next slide. So I just want to review briefly what those recommendations are. And sort of the fundamental discussion that the group had was that feasibility is something that needs to be considered and thought about throughout the entire time frame of measure development, including when a measure is very early being conceptualized and then specified. Feasibility needs to be considered in the choice of data elements, the way the data elements are put together in the measure logic, and getting input from the other members of the collaborative group, such as EHR vendors who can tell you whether the data fields exist in the EHRs and how frequently they are used, from providers who can tell you how readily that data is captured in typical clinical workflow. It is real. Feasibility is something that affects all of these different participants and stakeholders, and they need to be involved in providing feedback very early on in feasibility or in measure development. So that's recommendation one. Recommendation two is really an explicit framework for doing an assessment of e-measure feasibility. I'd also like to point out that we are explicitly using the term assessment rather than testing, because assessment is something that the TEP really felt should be an ongoing iterative process that early on may simply be a true assessment. What's our best estimate? What's our best guess? What can we know from current usage without formal testing per se? In order to do this feasibility assessment in a relatively standard way, looking at the things that are important for feasibility, the TAP is recommending a scorecard that and a feasibility assessment that's really two parts. The first one is the scorecard on data elements, and the scorecard contains four components, and that's assessing data availability, data accuracy or correctness, data standards, whether there are vocabularies associated with a data element, and then workflow. And assessing each of those four elements for every data element in a measure as it's being developed can provide very rich information for the development team to understand that perhaps maybe when we get to the end of the road, this isn't going to work out quite as nicely as we'd hoped. And perhaps it's an opportunity to be much more early on in the development process, be able to think about alternative approaches to the measure. Do we need all of these data elements? Is there a different way to address and create this performance measure? Or perhaps maybe it's too, right now isn't the time to be doing this kind of measurement. The TEP acknowledge that this is a very rapidly evolving environment, and what's feasible today or what is not feasible today may very well be feasible in 3 to 5 years or even sooner, particularly with the collaborative efforts that allow us developers to help direct EHR vendors to in the creation of their systems to start including different and more useful data elements. And that collaborative work very early on in the game can take a measure that may be infeasible today, and in a couple of years it will become feasible. And certainly for the measures that a lot of people are really looking for and asking for and, you know, hoping that we'll break through some of the technical and methodological challenges, with these collaborative efforts, we can, in the future, envision that these will be feasible, where today, perhaps not so much. So that's at the data element level, but then there are feasibility questions to be looked at when the entire measure is put together, and specifically around the logic. You know, evaluating the logic, understanding the definitions of all the data elements and how the logic puts those pieces together is fundamental, and sometimes works really well in EHRs and sometimes not so well. And from a performance measurement standpoint, it's clearly the ability to aggregate the data, the data elements, the measure results, and then be able to package them in a language and format that can be shared with others for reporting. So all of these are aspects of eMeasure feasibility assessment that are appropriately used throughout the measure development process. And so that recommendation two is really sort of the meat of this report around the framework. And this is an area we want your feedback on all the recommendations, but we really would like you to think about how this framework might work in your development work. I would also point out that there is an appendix to this report, and I think it's Appendix D, where several of the TEP members took example data elements and scored it against the data element scorecard, both for current feasibility as well as feasibility in the future. And the comments, I think, are very instructive. So this, I think, will be a learning and growing and developing process as we make this scorecard work best for everyone. So we really, really are looking forward to your comments and feedback on the scoring system that the TEP is proposing. Next one. So the rest of the recommendations tend to fall from the feasibility assessment scoring system. And the third one, I think, is very basic, in that once the scoring system is finalized, it will need to be validated. It isn't totally clear what the best way to sum up or average or weight any of the components in the scorecard, and that, I think, we'll need to wait until a more further evaluation of whether the scoring system is able to discriminate and how best to discriminate between feasible and less feasible data elements. Another strong recommendation from the TEP was to, again, in the collaborative spirit, we don't need to keep reinventing the wheel. So a repository or catalog of data elements that have been assessed for feasibility be available that can be shared among all the interested parties and measure developers, such that when you go to develop a new measure, you don't have to do a feasibility assessment on every data element, because many of the data elements are likely to already have been assessed. So you can have a reference repository to look to see what the assessment of that data element is, and then only do a feasibility assessment on any new data elements that your measure may require. And so that repository was felt to be just a shared resource that would be available for everyone. Recommendation five addresses one of the goals of the project, and that is drafting criteria, additional criteria or explanation expectation for NQF's evaluation for endorsement around feasibility as it applies to e-measures. And the two recommendations under this include that the feasibility assessments, the scoring that you've done during the measure development, would be a required part of the submission to NQF, so that there is something really somewhat objective and tangible for the steering committees to look at and understand some of the feasibility questions that right now tend to be more theoretical and not easy to address. And so these feasibility assessments would be included as part of the measure submission. Also, at this point, it's very clear that one of the biggest problems and challenges for e-measures is when data is not available. And so whether it's a workflow problem, whether it's a performance problem, whether it's an EHR design problem, it could be all of those. Some sort of an analysis of where the data isn't found during your testing is necessary to really understand how feasible these measures will be going forward to in providing reliable and valid results. So for the last three recommendations, I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Juliette Rubini.
Thanks, Reva. So the last three recommendations from the report, recommendation six is regarding composite measures. The growing interest in composite measures has led NQF to look to updating the guidance for composite measures. So there's a reassessment project going on for that as we speak. More information on that as it is developed, but we're hoping the guidance from that project will also influence e-measure composite development as well. Recommendation number 7, greater collaborative efforts are needed for e-measure development and implementation. As Reva mentioned earlier, this was definitely one of the common themes throughout this project and continues into the report, is that collaboration is of the utmost essentialness, if you will, for getting e-measures better developed. So the eMeasure Learning Collaborative, which many of you might be familiar with, and the QDM User Group are two initiatives within NQF that help to ensure that all stakeholders, from developers to implementers to vendors, can work together to ensure feasibility of eMeasures. And then lastly, recommendation number 8 is the need for testing partners. We're all aware that this is a very valuable but very scarce resource, and it was found that increasing collaborative efforts, as mentioned in number 7, was also directly linked to increasing the willingness of many providers to participate in testing. So we look to continue that recommendation as we move forward. And then lastly, one more time, in case you missed it, the report went out today and will be up until February 20th for comments. So please, as we've mentioned several times, do give us your feedback. We really do want to hear what everybody has to say regarding this report. So I'll pass it back to Reva.
Yeah. At this point, any questions or comments from anyone?
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Jody Dvorkin.
Hi there.
I'm sorry, my questions were actually more about the maintenance schedule and not this particular component, so I can defer until the end.
We'll take it right now, Jody. Yeah. What's your question?
Okay, I have several. First of all, where we stand with the two-stage process, specifically, we have some measures for endocrine that we could submit for stage 1, but not stage 2, and we want to know, has that been finalized and what we should prepare for?
Right. So our two stages is only being piloted with the GIGU measures, and we're actually doing a survey of the first stage of their project right now. So endocrine will going forward will proceed as a regular endorsement maintenance project. It won't follow the two-stage process. And we'll let you guys know what feedback we get from the evaluation that we do conduct from the two-stage, because as we've caveated in the past, this is a pilot project, and so it isn't anything set in stone that this is the way that we're going to proceed going forward.
Okay, and then thank you. And then the next question is for the categories patient experience and engagement and health and functional status.
Right.
We were wondering if we could get some examples of measures or measure sets that would fit into that, because all of our measure sets have some measures that we think would be pertinent, but we're not sure when to really submit for that category.
Right. So what I'll do is when I send you the list of the phase 3 behavioral health measures, I'll also include examples of functional status and patient experience and engagement measures that we already have that are currently endorsed.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And we have one more question.
Hi, Ashley. This is Sam Tierney with the AMA. Just a follow-up question related to your comment on behavioral health phase 3.
Yes.
So you mentioned that that's going to be maintenance. And I know that we had to submit several measures for behavioral health phase 2 that are maintenance. So I just wondered, is that there's separate behavioral health measures that fall under the phase 3 project that would be due for maintenance? Or are you possibly moving the maintenance that was part of phase 2 to phase 3?
They're different measures designated for each phase, both of which have maintenance measures. But like I told Jody, I'll send you guys the list with the specific breakdowns of which phases, which maintenance measures are in.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Your next question comes from the line of Bonnie Beer.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Hello, Bonnie.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
My question is about the feasibility testing. When you describe it, I was wondering, will there be sort of an objective way to assess feasibility? I wasn't clear when you were describing it. It sounded a little bit subjective.
No, actually, I mean, it depends on how you look at it. The scorecard actually has numerical values and rating scales, so that makes it somewhat objective. Ratings, of course, you know, is in the eye of the beholder in terms of subjectivity. But again, I think these are exactly the kinds of things we'd like you to take a really careful look at and give us your thoughts and impressions in feedback.
And will the scorecard will be scored by someone on the NQF steering committee?
No. These are meant for measure developers to be used during development and scored by your development team, hopefully in collaboration with, discussions with EHR vendors and other providers.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Your next question comes from the line of Chinwe Nwosu.
Hi. This question is for Ashley. It's about maintenance.
All right.
And I just wanted to know if you had any idea of when they would start cost and resource use phase two.
I'm not sure. I have to look into that and follow up with you.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
No problem.
There are no further questions at this time.
Well, if there are no further questions, we want to thank everyone for your time. And like I mentioned earlier, we can circulate the slides presented today to you all shortly following this meeting. So we look forward to speaking with you again in February, and everyone enjoy your day.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.